All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about the resurgent topic of encryption. We've already been kind of dancing around it a little bit today. It was a theme that stretched throughout the entire year, but undoubtedly shot to the forefront of discussion back in February when the FBI approached Apple for just a little bit of help getting them access to data on an iPhone belonging to one of the terrorists involved in a mass shooting in San Bernardino, California. Apple refused to help, of course, stating that it would not damage the security of its technology because once a known insecurity exists for one iPhone, it weakens security for all iPhones. In a very public dispute, Apple and the FBI boxed back and forth on the issue, with Apple holding its ground throughout. For a while, it actually seemed entirely likely that encryption would see its demise in the process. But suddenly, after months of work, the FBI discovered, in other words, paid reportedly up to $1 million to find a way to break into the phone. Did we ever find out what important information was on the phone and whether it was helpful to anything? Did we ever hear that?
Yes, we did. I spoke to Senator Ron Wyden about this, and they found absolutely nothing of use on there.
Yeah, fun.
Which they kind of should have realized, because the San Bernardino shooter, I won't dignify his name by saying it on air, but I mean, he was actually very careful. He burnt all his, he trashed all his electronics apart from this particular phone, which was his work phone, which wasn't his property. So it was reasonable to assume there was nothing on there. What this was an ideal test case, a picked test case for the FBI, because they have phones that they can't break into. They've acknowledged like 600 phones that they can't actually break into, but they chose to go to the courts on this particular case because it was perfect. Domestic terrorist, people dead, Muslim, it hit all the right buttons that they could take to court. Thankfully, Apple actually stood up to them, but this was, a test case, and we've seen it with Playpen earlier in the year as well. The FBI is not going to go for this for somebody who killed his wife in a domestic argument, and they want to get onto his phone to see what was going on. They will pick their cases very carefully because they are sick of criminals going dark, as they put it, or using encryption, as the rest of us put it. Now, obviously, they want a backdoor to encryption. The technology industry is not prepared and not able, more fundamentally, to give it to them, because math is math. You know, you can't build a backdoor into encryption which only law enforcement can access. Once you've built that backdoor and it's there, anybody who finds it can use it. And this is what technology companies are worried about. And this is what the FBI seemingly doesn't get. You know, they want the magic unicorn that the tech industry can, they believe the tech industry can make about them. And I'm a little ashamed of that subhead, but I was very angry when it came out.
No, to me, this was the biggest tech story of the year. I mean, it was, and we talked about it for months, and it was exhausting. And we threw out, a million metaphors, like, is our phone a safe? Is our phone a house? Is encryption, a guard dog? Like, there were just,
Don't forget Secure Enclave.
Yeah, the secure Enclave. We loved talking about it. And I feel like it was really important to talk about, and it will become more important. I mean, this is our Fourth Amendment right, and it's not, we still don't know whether we have what exactly that means when it comes to our phone. We've been going back and forth, like, do we have to give up our thumbprint? Do we have to give up our password? And I just think that we all need to remain vigilant about this question and just understand that the way that Comey treated this, he was disingenuous to us. He said, he was quoted as saying the San Bernardino litigation isn't about trying to set a precedent, because that's what we all kept saying. This was a precedent. This is a precedent.
Right, right.
He said it isn't about setting a precedent or sending a kind of message. But then he had to go back and say, it is, like, when all was said and done, it was exactly what you said, a perfect test case. And we're going to need more of these because, does our Fourth Amendment allow for reasonable warranted searches of our digital devices? I mean, is it putting criminals and technology companies above the law to encrypt everything? This is an open question. And as we go into 2017 with a new president of the United States, everyone is watching. And it's something that we just keep needing to think about.
Yeah, I mean, on the phone situation, the Supreme Court has ruled on this. And they've said that the police can force you to use your fingerprint to unlock your phone,
right,
because that's physical evidence. What they can't force you to do without a search warrant is to put in a PIN number. So my advice, if you're worried about this sort of thing, go for PIN number rather than fingerprint. It's slightly less convenient on a day-to-day basis, but if you are worried about it, then go for the PIN number. Now, we're going to see more Supreme Court rulings on this, and I'm afraid the news probably isn't good. Donald Trump said during his campaign that he wished he had the kind of hacking powers or ability to do these things that Russia had. And there's no evidence that I've seen so far that, you know, he is going to be a friend of encryption. He called for a boycott of Apple products over the San Bernardino case, if you remember. Mm-hmm. So it's going to get very grisly. Now, we've talked a lot about it this year. We're going to talk about it an awful lot next year. But the fact of the matter is that law enforcement has decided it wants back doors, and it will carry on pushing and pushing and pushing. Now, we can talk about it and then say after a while, oh, we're bored of this, let's move on to something else, and they'll get what they want. Or we push back. And that needs to be done, because at stake is not just privacy, but the safety of e-commerce around the world. If you put a backdoor into encryption, if you legislate to make sure that it's there, you are telling the rest of the world there is a backdoor. And the Russians, the Chinese, Syrians, everyone is going to put a massive effort into finding that backdoor, and they will find it. As we've seen in the past with backdoors put into networking kit, once you put it there, people will find it, and there's no way to control how they're going to use it. So this isn't just about privacy or, you know, personal communication, wishy-washy stuff like this. This is e-commerce. This is every single government email. This is, you know, this is basically handing over our national security for the sake of convenience to anybody who wants to exploit it, and it needs to be fought against.
Well, this was also a year that the term encryption just became part of the, you know, the mainstream. People talked about it, you know, other than political dissidents, like the regular people like you and I, normal people talked about it and began to consider end-to-end encryption to be something that they wanted in a messaging service. Services like Signal, Telegram, Wire, WickerMe, and others promised encryption to protect against snooping in the post-Snowden age, and also as an effort to combat the rise of ID theft. The conversations about encryption in law enforcement circles also grew from a rumble to a roar this year. It's like what we just talked about. It became clear that law enforcement was becoming more and more wary of what they no longer had access to, and especially when it came to catching terrorists. So, I mean, even in the few weeks after the election in the United States, a lot of encrypted messaging programs reported an uptick, and VPNs reported an uptick. So, you know, is this something that you know, like you said, every person needs to do on a personal level? Or is it, I mean, can we still play a little bit fast and loose with our own personal privacy?
Okay, the strictly correct answer, but yes, we must always use encryption. We must always be totally secure. But nobody does that. I mean, I'm sorry, life gets in the way. And yes, we should be using more encryption. We should be using more secure services. Moxie Marlinspike has done a great job in getting good encryption out there, and we should be using it. But the fact of the matter is, we'll always choose convenience over security, because that's the way our brains are wired. And, it's a fact of life. Getting my mum onto a secure encrypted email system and PGP is never going to happen. She barely knows how to turn the computer on, God bless her. But, you know, for the vast majority of people, you know, there is the argument, if you've done nothing wrong, you've got nothing to fear. But I have very little truck with that. But, you know, we are seeing much more interest in encryption and many more people using it. And I think it's up to companies to really up their game and build these systems in. Now, whether or not they will, or whether they choose to play ball, is going to be very much up for grabs this year. And this is going to be a critical year for that, to see how they react.